Wow, what a gorgeous picture of contentment. You know, the sheep, now that I know sheep stick their heads in fences, I have a different picture here. But you think of this beautiful pastoral scene, and Jesus has all of his sheep, and we're all gathered together, and it's peaceful and beautiful, and all is well. And this Thanksgiving season, isn't that the picture that we all hope for? That we all sense that Jesus is calling us to this wonderful, wonderful place of contentment. And so I've been reflecting recently on all that is happening here at Desert Skies, and I am truly amazed at the love and compassion, the dedication, sense of vision, yes, even risk demonstrated by this congregation as we seek what it means to be a joyful community, drawing people to Christ, no matter what. And over the last couple of months, I mean, boy, illnesses, deaths, disasters around the world, building projects, support of our children and youth, a very successful pledge campaign, and even a new campus, I think, have brought out the best of us in 2017. You know, our annual church meeting is over, and our newly elected leaders are prepared to take their positions on January 1st. There are exciting new ideas and goals in front of us to inspire our leaders and to guide the direction of our church council in 2018. We mark the end of the Christian year today as the Pentecost season comes to an end and Advent, which is the new year in the Christian calendar, begins next Sunday. This festival that we call Christ the King, which we celebrate today, I think is overshadowed for both the church and the world by the Thanksgiving holiday, which then marks the beginning of the Christmas shopping season. So it's a busy time, a fruitful time, a frenzied time, and so we can pause this morning to reflect and to breathe and to look to our ultimate leader, Christ, whom we call King, to the one whom we follow and strive to draw people toward by all that we say and do and are. And so in this atmosphere of changing times and changing seasons, the words of Ezekiel 34 have an important message for all who identify themselves as the sheep of his pasture or the people of God. Ezekiel 34 is addressed to those people of God who have been living in exile in Babylon. And the first 10 verses of the chapter, which precede our scripture reading today, set the stage for this beautiful pastoral scene with the words, "Thus saith the Lord God," and then continue with quite a harsh word directed at the shepherds, which at that time was a common metaphor for the kings or the political leaders of the time. You see, those shepherds have totally failed at their responsibilities. Instead of feeding their sheep, they have been fattening themselves. They have neglected the sick, the injured, the lost. Their rule has not been kind, but harsh. They have scattered the sheep, which is a clear reference to the exile. And when we apply that sort of scenario to our own time, this criticism of Israel's leaders has a word for all who hold public or pastoral, because the word pastor has roots in this whole Latin word for shepherd, but all of those who hold those kinds of leadership offices. And by telling what these leaders have failed to do in Ezekiel's time, they give a picture of what public officials and pastors ought to be doing. Now, many of you here grew up with the songs of Bob Dylan, and I know you did because Bob Dylan sort of predates me, which often catch the sense of the first part of our text effectively. So you all remember the song, These Times They Are A-Changin'. And these were the words back then. Early 60s, right? 62. Thanks, Walt. I knew I'd have an expert here. Come senators, congressmen, please hear the call. Don't stand in the doorway. Don't block up the hall. There's a battle outside, and it is a-raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls, for the times, they are a-changing. Okay, guys, that's over 55 years ago. And the time walls are still rattling. And the times, they're still a-changing. And put succinctly, Ezekiel, the pastor to those in exile, says to the political leaders of his time, just as Bob Dylan said to the political leaders of his time, you shepherds have fed yourself, and you have not fed my sheep. Those leaders ought to be caring for the sheep, not exploiting them and fattening their own lives. And in these times that are a-changing, both the world and the church need politicians and pastors who will care for their people responsibly. But then we come to our text today, the good news. The people's leaders have failed, but there is a search and rescue operation going on. And the Lord, the Good Shepherd, has not forsaken those who are scattered in the gloom and darkness of exile, but is searching them out. That God will rescue them and bring them home. That God will make them lie down in green pastures and be fed with justice, which is the final climactic word in this saying, both in Hebrew and in English, because justice is the expected response of God's people to what God has done for them. It is a response that is never static, but dynamic, and which involves taking up the cause of the powerless, represented by the widow and the orphan and the poor. And in our time, as it was in Ezekiel's, the special responsibility for those in positions of public responsibility is to care for the powerless. And justice means that God holds bullies accountable, that those who belong to God are those who do the will of God, and it is never God's will that believers injure one another or hurt one another intentionally, that they don't jockey for advantage or exploit resources that should be for all. And as I look out in the world today, there are many Christian groups these days who are destructively, I think, divided over social and theological issues, as has been the case throughout the entire history of Christianity. But we must challenge church leaders at national and local levels to stop slamming each other and rendering Christianity suspect for everyone else. Unless we think that it is all just about the leaders, God requires that all believers treat each other with love and forbearance. So the bitterness of global disputes over theology and liturgy, the dynamics of conflict and triangulation that disturb the peace of many congregations, and the competitive posturing that goes on between Christian people would indicate that perhaps the faithful still need to hear Ezekiel's message. Christ is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And so have you, as a follower of Jesus, considered lately and perhaps even reconfigured your understanding of power so that you're able to devote all of your passion and energy to the heartfelt love of God and neighbor? As each one of us eagerly listens for the call of God on our lives, we do well to remember that grace and accountability together make up the sound of our shepherd's voice. We're called to follow Christ the King, the Good Shepherd, our ultimate leader, for he modeled servant leadership at its very best, bringing together humility, accountability, being fully present in each and every moment, willing to hang out with the undesirable so that they can be healed, always seeking for justice and righteousness, and loving so completely that he was willing to lay down his life for his friends. His number one priority was to do whatever it took to help people change their hearts and lives and claim a relationship with God. And leaders in the church today have that same responsibility. And the number one priority of our leaders here at Desert Skies is to make decisions based on what is best for the church overall. And that means often that we have to institute some changes because the world out there is a very different place and it's very resistant to the idea of church as most of us know it. In North America and much of Europe, we're seeing a dramatic increase in a term called the nuns, which are people who don't identify with any particular faith tradition. And while we ache for those who have been wounded by religion and no longer feel at home at church, the dissatisfaction within the church, because they have not been content to just sit back and be wounded, but have challenged us and called us to rethink how we do and see and be the church, it has sparked some necessary and healthy changes. One Episcopal bishop aptly called those recurring periods of upheaval giant rummage sales in which the church rids itself of what is no longer needed and rediscovers treasures it had forgotten. Well, friends, we here at Desert Skies know better than anyone about giant rummage sales. Amen? And so if we lead change, we have to count on the fact that there are probably going to be those who object. So there's this sort of interesting reality out there. We have this beautiful pastoral scene of Jesus as our shepherd on one hand, and yet over here we have the fact that if change is needed, if we really model our leadership after Jesus, then that total peace and harmony that most of us crave in our church setting is probably not possible. And as a church, as a leadership team about to move into a new fiscal year, that means that we're going to have to decide that we're going to expand our horizons and make changes for the sake of the church and possibly, oh no, even risk disharmony and disunity while we figure it all out. And that means that there are going to be times when conflict is unavoidable. But we need to stay our course, as Jesus did. And the reality is that it gets harder yet when we discover that the decisions that we make bring down the ire of one group or another, not just one or two people. And there are going to be times when your church council is going to want to reverse decisions that we make because there are too many loud voices clamoring against change. And guess who those loud voices will probably be? But no matter what, if the decision is the right one for the church, then we must stick to our guns, even if it costs us, even if it costs the church. But we know we're in good company, and we'll be faithful to Jesus of the Bible, our ultimate leader, though perhaps not so much the Jesus of the modern-day church, who doesn't seem to have much power to do anything. Because the Jesus of the modern day church that so many people see today because of who we as the church model is that meek, mild, butter won't melt in your mouth, I love the children, this I know, peace and harmony wouldn't harm a fly, gentle shepherd persona often portrayed in our pictures and storybooks. Friends, this Jesus would never have been crucified because everybody would have loved him. He wouldn't have stirred up trouble. The Jesus of the Bible is that guy who called the Pharisees some very vile names, trashed the temple's courtyard, called his best friend Satan to his face, told his followers that he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword, told his would-be followers that they had to abandon their families and everything they owned in order to be faithful, no exceptions, left his flock completely unattended to go chase that one lost sheep, and even killed a poor fig tree to make a point. This is the Jesus who, if he had the propensity to peace and harmony among his followers and the established religious leaders of his day, put it in the back seat so that he could say and do what was ultimately best for the movement that he started. And the Jesus of the Bible made the difficult decision that ended both his livelihood and his life. I mean, friends, this is the guy who at one time had a congregation of way over 5,000 members, but was satisfied to grow it down to 11 leaders and 109 faithful followers who would then take his gospel out into the world. Now, we have just elected our church leaders for 2018, 2019, and 2020. And I'm guessing that those leaders will face making some very difficult and important decisions over the next year. But that's their job, leading Desert Skies United Methodist Church into a faithful, effective, sustainable future. And it's a really exciting time to be the church. And Jesus promises to shepherd us and to show us how to lead. He promises to take each one of us to hone our gifts and to use us to draw people to Christ. And we are already doing that in so many ways. Our leaders have been and are some of the best that the church has ever seen. I praise God for the leaders of the past, leaders of the present, and the leaders of the future, all of whom have been and are taking seriously the responsibility to follow Christ faithfully. Let's take a look at some of those leaders together as they're drawn in to model Jesus, the ultimate leader.